Hey everyone, Carmelia here, back with Dr. Sanjeev at the Peak Human Labs podcast. And today we're going to be talking about hormone replacement therapy in women, and in particular, through menopause.
Menopause, right? And so menopause is basically, if what that word means is the pausing of the menstrual cycle.
Yes.
That tends to happen. Every woman will usually go through that, starting, you know, somewhere from the mid-40s up to all the way into the mid-50s. And it's a transition. It doesn't just happen, you know, one day you're, you know, completely having full periods and then next minute you have no periods. Normally, it kind of tends to happen gradually over the years.
Yes.
And we call that the perimenopause, which means it's around the menopause. So that perimenopausal period lasts a few years, and that's where women start to notice changes in their hormones and their periods. They start to become different. Their moods might start to change. So all of these things, it's a process.
Yeah, I kind of, I call it mental pause. I'm literally not myself sometimes, or I don't know what all of the different symptoms are, but, you know, mood changes, as you said. Sometimes, I don't know if being forgetful is one of those things, or if that's just old age.
Could be, you know, mood changes. It could be, you know, body changes.
Yep.
It could be, you know, hot flashes. There are multiple symptoms that people notice.
Is there an average time that women will start to notice their periods kind of not being so regular or missing one?
Like that's, I think it begins usually in 45.
45 and up?
And then, you know, kind of peaks around, you know, 50 is kind of usual average, and then 55 might be about the, you know, the ending of it.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's like a 10-year process.
Oh, so from 45 to 55 is when this happens.
It happens usually in that time period.
So what's happening in menopause as it pertains to hormones? Like, what are the hormones involved?
Sure, that's great. Great question. So basically, when a woman has a cycle, there are really two major hormones that are in play here. One is estrogen and one is progesterone.
Okay.
And then every month, the cycle repeats itself. And so what happens is that when you have your period, then the hormones are at their low period at that time. And then the body starts to prep for a release of an egg. That happens usually about 14 days after your last menstrual period.
Because your period is related to fertility, correct?
So that's
to preparing your body for the egg.
Exactly. So that's what I'm saying. So what has to happen is the estrogen starts to climb up in those first 14 days. And then there's almost like a peak where the egg gets released.
Okay.
And that's the, you know, that's when the woman is fertile for about, you know, 2 days or so that egg is released.
That's ovulation. When they're ovulating.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
And then the egg is, then progesterone gets released by the ovaries. After the egg.
Okay.
And kind of gets it ready in case the egg gets fertilized. Then progesterone is getting released, but it's getting released to make that egg ready in case, you know, it's a fertilized egg and the pregnancy needs to happen.
So is estrogen and progesterone hormones directly related to periods? Like
that's exactly what causes the period.
So nothing else?
That's what causes the period.
Okay.
So what happens that if the egg is not fertilized, then there's a signal that, hey, we can just let go of this lining. So there's a lining that builds up on the uterus wall. So the lining is there to kind of get that egg ready.
Right, okay.
For pregnancy.
Got you.
But if the pregnancy does not happen, then it's time to let the lining shed. So the body does that by releasing both hormones, estrogen and progesterone.
So within that lining, or the blood, the period, that's actually estrogen and progesterone within
That's the hormone.
That's the lining, okay.
Yeah, they create the lining of the uterus, and so that... There's no need for that anymore if there's no pregnancy.
Right.
Start the cycle again once the period is finished.
So is it menopause is when there's less eggs? Like women they don't produce any more eggs?
Well, yeah. So there's a finite number of eggs that a woman has at the beginning of, you know, of puberty. And, you know, everyone will run out of those eggs. And if there's no eggs, then there'll be no further hormones that'll be released.
Okay.
From the ovaries, so it.
So it's telling the women that your time of reproduction is gone, or going.
Yeah,
right.
That's exactly what's happening, and so, you know, I guess in the old days maybe people didn't live as as long and it wasn't such an issue, but we live in a society where people live much beyond 50 now.
Right.
And there's a lot of benefits to hormones to the body.
Okay.
And some of those benefits traditionally have been about the heart. So it's important for the heart heart health. And
so you mean the estrogen and progesterone is
both? Yeah, oh, okay. They're both very important for the heart. And the other thing is the protection for the bones.
Okay.
So without estrogen, our bones get thinner.
But here's the thing: if I'm no longer producing estrogen and progesterone, mm-hmm. How do you test for what my levels are? Is there a test for that?
No, I'm gonna get.
Oh, okay. There. Sorry. I'm already. Like,
I just want to make sure that okay. we talk. What are the benefits?
Oh, the benefits.
Why are we have these?
Like,
these
why hormones? Should we have a balance?
Why
in our
are
hormones?
These? Okay. Why are these hormones around? And why they're important to replace?
Okay.
One is the heart, bones.
Okay.
Brain. So there's links that people who have, you know, who end up going to menopause and have less hormones, have increased risk of dementia.
So plus, I was right. It is a mental pause. Okay. Could be.
Hormones also for women influence the way the fat is distributed on the body.
Women tend to complain that they gain more weight.
Yes, you tend to gain weight around the belly.
Okay.
Because a man generally has what we call, we call the apple
figure, or pear. So,
yeah. And a woman's more like a pear, so it's more around the
bum.
The bum for a woman.
Bum in middle midsection.
Yeah, whereas man is more on the midsection.
Okay.
But the weight around the midsection is much more risky for heart disease, and so what ends up and estrogen is what kind of puts that weight more in a healthier way on a woman.
Got you.
But without that estrogen, the weight starts to
climb up, or you start to see
in different places.
Okay,
that, you know. Also, there's, you know, changes in sexual function as well.
It could affect libido?
Yeah.
Okay.
For sure. And then there's, you know, changes on skin aging. So there's multiple reasons why people should probably be on hormones.
I'm like, give me those hormones right now. I had no idea it had all those effects.
It has all of those effects. And, you know, when I went to medical school, which is a long time ago, it was standard to give every woman hormones. And these hormones were synthetic hormones.
Okay. Like, without even asking, if I was 45 or whatever, you would just write a script or back
it was very common. I wouldn't say it again. We only give it when when menopause happens or people
have start symptoms. To see those symptoms.
Some people have no symptoms at 45, and that's great.
Okay.
But when the symptoms were happening, we were definitely prescribing these hormones. And some people, obviously, people had benefit, but there was a big study called the Women's Health Initiative where they looked at, you know, I think 30, 40,000 women, and they followed them. And what they found was that there was some increased risk of various types of issues in these women who were taking
hormones.
These hormones. One is the estrogen was called a conjugated equine estrogen, means it was estrogen that came from the urine of a horse.
I heard equine. I'm like,
yeah.
Okay, and so it was an animal hormone.
Yeah, it was the most commonly prescribed estrogen.
Who would put that together?
And then the progestins were synthetic progestins, we call them, that were again made in
a lab.
In a lab, in effect. So
there was nothing they were actually manufactured. The progesterone was
manufactured. And what they showed was that the study showed that breast cancer was increased. There was some increased risk of breast cancer in the women who were on
the hormone therapy
of estrogen and progesterone. And I want to just do a caveat here. Why are we giving both? You know, why couldn't we just give one hormone, estrogen? Because estrogen is the one that gives a lot of the benefits.
Okay.
But the reason is that if we don't give estrogen, I mean, if we don't give progesterone with the estrogen, there's a risk of uterine cancer because you need the progesterone to kind of make sure there's no buildup of the lining.
Right, okay.
In the
because
uterus.
That, as you said earlier, that's the function. If there's no egg, progesterone
kind of sends a signal.
Says, hey, it's time to let it go. Okay.
Let it go.
So in the absence of that, you're just going to keep building up
the lining, which could then put you at risk of uterine cancer.
Okay.
So that's why both hormones are given together.
So one would never prescribe one without the other.
Unless then. You don't have a uterus.
Okay.
Then they do sometimes give estrogen on its own. But, you know, there may be some other benefits to progesterone, sleep as well, mood issues that could have some other benefits. That's what.
Okay.
So that study, Basic Women's Health Initiative, showed that there was a risk of increased breast cancer. Okay. And so that obviously caused a huge alarm, and people were quite concerned. Now, when they looked at studies looking at different types of estrogen and natural progesterone, the results are different, but we don't have very good studies on understanding what's happening there.
Okay.
But this study, the big study, really raised an alarm that, hey, there might be increased breast cancer risk. The second thing was that there was this risk of increased heart disease in women who are on these hormones.
It's pretty scary.
But it could have
breast
been.
Cancer and heart disease.
Yeah, but then when they looked at that a little bit more closely, there's some improvement in risk of heart disease on women who are on hormones. But you need to start soon after menopause. It may have to do also with the type of estrogen as well that could influence whether or not it was protective or not. Mm-hmm. So it raised a lot of alarm. So there was a good 10-15 years in the medical community where people were not prescribing any hormone replacement therapy.
Even if women complained about the different issues.
There was a big concern that, hey, like, we should not be causing
100%.
Cancer. We don't want to be causing heart disease. So
yeah, you can just stay bloated.
And
or
then,
moody, right?
Stroke is also a concern as well.
Wow.
But again, now it depends on the type of estrogen that
okay.
could potentially... that could be causing this issue, and then the risk of clots, blood clots, is also potentially increased, but also found in particular type of estrogen, and may not be a problem with those women who are using transdermal estrogens. So,
okay.
So again, complex issue, but it seems like the use of what we call bioidentical hormones.
Bioidentical
means
when did they get introduced?
I would say it's been around the last 10 years or so where people are starting to use bioidentical hormones,
okay.
which means that it's not coming anymore from the
horse's
urine.
Okay.
And it's estradiol, and the progestins are now progesterone, what's actually similar
Real
to
Real progesterone?
Similar to what you're...
Like if you look at the molecular DNA, it's the same structure.
It's
okay. So the body accepts it as if it was its own,
yeah,
where before it was a bit foreign.
May have been foreign and may have caused some of these
symptoms. Okay.
issues. These side effects. So, there's still, what we call contraindications of people who should not be on hormones. That's anybody who's have breast cancer in the past. That's not a good idea. Anybody who's had what we call a DVT, which is a clot in their leg. Generally, we say people who are smokers, because those people are at higher risk of clots. Anybody who's got liver disease, anybody who's got a bleeding disorder.
Even though it's bioidentical, they just don't want to take risk?
Again, these are all, one has to look a little bit more carefully and figure out what else can you do to kind of figure out whether are you at risk of some of these issues. For example, if we're looking at breast cancer, we can now do testing to look at how do you metabolize estrogen? Are you somebody who produces toxic metabolites of estrogen or not? And if you do have, break down your estrogen into these toxic metabolites, you can do things to help remove these toxic metabolites so they don't build up in your body.
How would an average person know that?
They'd have to go to their physician
okay.
and get these testing done to look at the metabolites of estrogen so they can see, are they at risk? That's why we say that those who have family history, they might be having this problem if they're not metabolizing estrogen.
Now, is that what you just described, a standard test, or is it a specialized test?
It's a specialized test.
Okay.
Usually people have to pay for these tests.
Okay.
Not normally done by most physicians. You have to go to special labs that do these type of testing.
Well, it's good you're giving this information, because if you don't know to test, how are you going
to
understand?
It's not anymore. Now, I think we're leaning back towards putting women back on
hormones.
Hormone replacements. But again, doing it in a way that making sure that that person is the right candidate, they're not at risk for breast cancer, that we're doing everything we can to possibly...
Myself being over 50, experiencing menopause in that I'm not having regular periods. I mean, I'm loving it. I don't have hot flashes yet. Like, are those things guaranteed? Like, will I eventually get a hot flash?
Some women don't have any hot flashes. Some people have very smooth transition. But
the changes, it's not always like, oh my God, you're going to go crazy. Like, but there's all these myths.
Yeah, it's not. It doesn't happen. Some women it's very difficult. Some women it's not. But I want to point out here, it's really about the other benefits of these hormones, which are long term, like bone benefits,
okay,
heart benefits, brain benefits. All of these things are long term. You may not notice it that you're.
So post-menopause, it's like a vitamin. It's not something you stop. Is that what you're saying?
It's probably a lifelong.
Right.
Lifelong.
Because if I stop taking the estrogen as prescribed and it's showing me those benefits, it's not something I just say, okay, I'm not going to take it now.
Yeah, I we don't have enough knowledge.
Research? Okay.
Yeah, because we don't have so many years of following women.
Sure.
For 30 years, we don't have that.
Right.
But I would say that, yes, this is probably lifelong because it's like taking anything. Like if you want to you would start to lose the benefits if you stop taking estrogen. But if you're 85 and you know and your health isn't very good, and you know, and this may not be the top thing to worry about.
Yeah, exactly.
So you got to figure out what's the top priority. But I would say for prevention of diseases, and it looks like hormone replacement therapy is definitely very important.
That's great. Yeah. All right. What are the most common questions that you find women having about hormone replacement therapy?
I think that, you know, sometimes people are wondering, should they be taking it, you know, by cream or by gel or...
so there's different ways to take it. Okay.
There's pills. And I think this is a lot about convenience now. It's about figuring out what you kind of like to do. But I personally find that pills work really well because you have a very set dose and you know what the absorption of these you know exactly how much you're getting, whereas on a cream it's sometimes difficult to figure out, okay, did I put it in properly or did I put the same amount every time. The other concern I have sometimes with topical preparations that you might get the estrogen on somebody else.
Yeah.
And then that wouldn't be good.
Like rubbing on your guy?
Exactly.
He's going to start crying tomorrow?
That may not be a good thing because it's very, you know, could have a huge impact on
on
male. So who's not exposed to that or, you know.
Children,
exactly. You know, there are concerns.
How would they even make something like that?
I mean, there's concerns about estrogen-type molecules getting into the water supply. So, that impact on, on other people.
And so just for my own curiosity, based on, like, is the estrogen amount, because you talked about dosage and whatnot, is that all based on, like, what your patient tells you? Like, can you give somebody more estrogen or less estrogen, or is there a standard amount?
There's a standard amount of how you start, but it's kind of like a, you kind of got to go with the person, and you got to see.
Based on their feedback.
How they're feeling, but there's generally a good starting dose, and then you kind of just go with it and you kind of make adjustments. It's a bit of an art still with that because we don't really understand what the, you know, everyone's personal dose. We haven't figured that out yet.
And which between estrogen and progesterone, in your opinion, mainly affects mood? Because even when I'm PMSing or you see women that they just say they get cranky or they get hungry or like, don't talk to me. What is that? Is that just an excuse?
I think those are both have impact on mood. It's very difficult to say because it's an interplay.
Okay. It's not one over the other.
Yeah. I mean, I think progesterone is very important. Some people's mood things around PMS are related to the progesterone issue. But some people's issues, you know, relate to estrogen. If it's at different parts of the cycle, it depends when.
Okay.
Issues.
But do those mood things when you're on your regular period happen? Is it an indicator that you're on your period or just before your period?
Or just after? So this is the thing that
I'm trying to give a warning to men. Like, I want to understand.
Interestingly, is that when your period happens, your hormones have already dropped like 2 days before.
Yeah, so it's it's PMS. It's right? That's why they say post. Yeah.
Premenopausal syndrome. Yeah. But what I'm trying to say is that when the bleed happens, when the people's periods start, your hormones have already dropped 2 days before that.
Right.
So likely the mood changes because the hormones have dropped.
Now you're just cranky because you're bleeding. That's it. But not necessarily the mood. Yes.
Yeah, hormones have dropped. Okay. So that's what I'm trying to say, is that there are changes in the mood, probably related to the hormones dropping.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's...
All right.
That's what I would say.
I wanted to make sure, because I know I've felt those things and lately haven't, so maybe someone's in for a wild surprise. Anything else that we should know about? And by the way, if you're watching, and you are watching,
yeah,
enjoy the content. The best way that you can show your thanks is to subscribe.
Subscribe to YouTube.
Yes. To comment, to share for anybody that you know may be interested in hormone replacement therapy or going through menopause. And you can also support our channel at peakhuman.ca.
Exactly.
Head on over to the Peak Rewards page. For $9.99, you can be a member of inside the Peak Rewards, which also helps to fund our show.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you so much, everyone. Yeah, this is a work of passion.
Yes. So
the best thing you could do is support us by becoming a member. That would be great. And again, clicking subscribe. And we're also on Apple Podcasts as well.
Yes, Apple Podcasts and Spotify and all those great things. We will post the link. And we'll see you next week.
Okay, everyone. Take care.
Bye.